David Plowden takes a good picture, in both senses. There's a photo of the author on his book, Bridges, the Spans of North America. It shows a distinguished silver-haired gentleman. His photos inside the book can take your breath away. David Plowden's written almost 20 books. His photographs are in permanent collections all over the country. But the book, Bridges, is special because bridges are special to David Plowden. He told Ann Strainchamps how he prepared for the Bridges project.
I had a map in my office, and I had map pins, different colors, for every single bridge that was important. I classified them all by the bridge type. And the ones that were absolutely essential had a gold pin.
How many essential ones were there?
Probably there were 20, 25 bridges that absolutely had to be gotten. And I did, and I went, and I did get all of those.
Mm. Tell me, is there a story that comes to mind if you think of one that was really difficult to photograph and you finally figured it out and got a photo you were really happy with?
Well, I spent, I guess it was maybe a week or 2 weeks on the Oregon Coast Highway. All the bridges on that road are designed by the same man, a man named Condi McCullough. He used concrete. And I thought, you know, I have to find a way of photographing each one of these bridges in a different way. The one that was the hardest turned out to be the best picture. And it was the one of the Aquinnah Bay Bridge. This is the road which is filled with logging trucks. And I'm there at dawn in the fog. And I'm all set and everything's right. And the fog is blowing across the bridge, you know, and everything is just right. And all of a sudden I hear this truck gearing down behind me. So I have to pick up the tripod, move to the side of the road, get out of the road, and then come back and wait. And I was worried that the sun was going to come up and burn off the fog, which it, of course, did. And I was out there dodging trucks, waiting for the fog to be right, hoping it would burn off. And finally, I did manage to get the picture, and it is one of my favorite photographs.
Mm-hmm. For you, these bridges are incredible feats of engineering,
oh,
but
yes.
They're beautiful, too. What makes a bridge beautiful in your eyes?
I think the fact that it is an incredible engineering feat, the fact that it is a sort of a magnificent testament to man's genius. And so many of these older bridges were not done with the computer. They were done with people who had the daring to go out there and figure out a way, like the Roeblings and Captain Eads and all these people who had no precedent. And some of these bridges were really built by carpenters. And people had no engineering training at all. And they solved the problem of getting across a river or a ravine. And to me, this is a very exciting thing. So the people who made these bridges, to me, are really as exciting as the bridges themselves. I mean, they're heroes to me. And the work of a bridge, just the idea of looking at a bridge, it's some of these bridges are absolutely breathtaking structures. I mean, you look at some of those bridges on the Hudson River, and I grew up in New York, and it's not on the East River, but I went up and down the Hudson River all the time. And these bridges sort of walked across the river with seven-leak boots. I mean, they were absolutely incredible from bank to bank. These immense bridges. And I was absolutely staggered by this.
You know, the thing that knocks me out about some of those, many of those beautiful New York bridges is they're massive, huge bridges, and they're graceful.
Yes.
They have such lightness to
them. Yes, they are. I mean, the Brooklyn Bridge is a masterpiece. It looks the way it does, and all that beautiful fan-like structure is there for a reason. I mean, it makes the bridge more stable. But when you look at it, it looks like a harp. I mean, the cabling of these suspension bridges in themselves is just absolutely gorgeous.
Now, was that deliberate? Did they want to build a bridge that was beautiful as well as that would work?
Well, there was one engineer who built the Poughkeepsie Bridge, which has crossed the Hudson River at Poughkeepsie, which was, when it was finished in 1889, it was one of the great bridges of the world, huge. And he said, you know, it may not be a thing of beauty, but we hope it's essentially that it's a thing of beauty to the stockholders of the railroad. And it's, I mean, if you look at it, it's the bridge that's next to it, the Mid-Hudson Bridge, is an absolute gem. It's a beautiful suspension bridge, and this is a great big truss. I don't think all of those engineers really had the aesthetic in mind. I think they really they had a job to do.
So how did you photograph the Poughkeepsie Bridge?
I just tried always to think about the way the bridge was constructed. I mean, it was a suspension bridge, so you get all the cabling. I mean, that's very important to have the beautiful lines of the cables. In an arch bridge, somehow or other, you want to get the thrust of the arch in the photograph. In the truss bridges, you want to make those trusses both magnificently complicated. At the same time, you want to see if you can see the logic in them.
I mean, sometimes your photographs will... You can tell what you're showing us is how long the bridge is, and that's what seems incredible, is that this bridge is just this long, straight truss bridge that just keeps going and going. And that's what the photograph is showing us. And sometimes with the suspensions, you'll see, you know, you'll do a close-up that's just the cabling, and it's so beautiful, so graceful.
The bridge sort of tells you how it wants to be photographed. Mm-hmm. When you go down to the Mississippi, these great, huge, long bridges that just stretch for miles across the river. I mean, you know, and they have to have these huge approaches because it's flat land and you're crossing this river. You have to get up above the navigation so the boats can go underneath. And they're huge. They're immense. And the only way to do it is to find a place where you can show the length of it. Because as you said, that's one of the major things. When you go out to Alberta, the great Lethbridge Viaduct out there, which is the longest viaduct in the world, you have to make it long. You have to find a way. You can't do it. There's no truncated piece of the bridge. No, you've got to make it long.
You don't
do it in
detail on that
one. No. But there's some of the bridges, particularly the iron bridges, where the detailing of the bridge, I mean, the portals of the iron bridges, all these iron bridge fabricators, you know, you bought the bridge out of a catalog, quite literally. And all these bridge companies, they did. I'm not kidding.
Really?
You. Absolutely.
Was it like you go through a Sears catalog?
Yes.
I want that bridge?
Exactly. You'd go through the Groton Bridge Company catalog or the Berlin Bridge Company catalog, and you'd say, or the salesman for the bridge company would say, I think you should have this bridge. And it comes, you know, by the yard. It's like ribbon. I'm not kidding you. These truss bridges were made this way, and each one of the companies that made the truss bridges had a different portal design.
Huh.
So you do the detailing, because that's the important thing. And you do some of the details of the truss work itself, which is one reason why I don't like covered bridges.
Because, less to show.
Well, yes, of course. The whole reason for a covered bridge is just to cover up the truss work.
You know, we look at a lot of these bridges, and after you see a lot of them, you begin to take it for granted that, of course, they built these. Of course, they all worked. It's important sometimes to remember that sometimes they didn't work.
No, sometimes they didn't work with disastrous results. I mean, the Quebec Bridge. And that was just bad engineering. The man, the engineer on the bridge's name, I can't remember, kept wiring to Theodore Cooper and the Phoenix Bridge Company, that, you know, there was a deflection in one of the lower cords of the bridge, and they didn't pay any attention to him. And so, indeed, the bridge collapsed, and a lot of people were killed, and then when they rebuilt the bridge and redesigned it, when they were raising the central span, it collapsed into the St. Lawrence. But it was another engineer passed judgment on this bridge, and he said, I mean, the original bridge, and said that, I mean, it was of such bad design that it was a disgrace to engineering.
Mm. This was a Canadian bridge.
It was
American engineering, right?
Yes, in the beginning, and then in the second bridge, it was both Canadian and American, and they had some of the great engineers working on that bridge.
But wasn't this perceived at the time as kind of a blow to American engineering
pride? Yes, it was. And at the same time that the Quebec Bridge was a building, the Queensboro Bridge, New York, was being constructed, and it was the same kind of a bridge. It was a cantilever bridge. And so immediately, this bridge was put under the magnifying glass, and they discovered that, in point of fact, had the bridge been completed as redesigned. It was a political football. They kept changing it. It's a city bridge, and they kept changing bridge engineers every time the mayor was thrown out. They'd get a new bridge engineer in there. And the new bridge engineer was sort of a scandal because he was had connections with the people that provided the steel, so he kept adding more and more and more steel. And it was discovered that, in point of fact, if the bridge had been completed, it would have collapsed. Hmm. It wouldn't have held up its own weight. So they had to start taking things off the bridge. The Queensboro Bridge is still has the heaviest dead load of any bridge.
Oh, really?
I've been out on it.
No,
I don't. And I've been out on it, you know, to photograph it and standing on it, and it's I don't like it.
Are these bridges endangered? I mean, are some of them going away?
Well, the older ones, yes. Many, many, many of the bridges in this book have been replaced. Hmm. They're not there anymore. Which was one of the main, another reasons why I did this, because, well, the Guggenheim Foundation supported this book in the beginning. And when I applied for the grant, I said, you know, that you give it to me is not important, that you give it to somebody, because I said, if you don't, nobody's going to be able to record bridge engineering history in this country, because I said, many, many of the most important examples will be gone. And I felt that these old bridges were such an important part of our history that they ought to be, in one way or another, saved. I'm not going to go and save them, but, I mean, you know, I can save them through the photographs.
And he did. David Plowden's book is called Bridges, the Spans of North America. It was first published some 25 years ago. Now it's been reissued with all new prints of 185 bridge photographs. David Plowden talked with Anne Strangechamps.